time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. Back. Right. Black History Year. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Women's Month, Women's Year. It's the whole shit, man. It's a lot going on. You know, shout out to the ladies.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We here. We thriving. You know, we here with y'all. If you're listening, and if you're listening, good looking now. It's always good to have your ear during this Black History Year. What's good with you?
It's all good, man. Oh, shit. Was bugging out. They say, you know, Chingy ended Black History Month off real strong for the for the community when the Estee Lauder, one of the head Estee Lauder executives, posted a meme that was like, "My nigga Snuffy got the Rona, being at a Chingy concert," and you know, of course, people called him out. He got suspended at first, then he had to step down from a $10 million job, and that happened on February 28th. So people was like, Chingy came through strong on Black History Month and last day.
Came through and crushed the buildings. White Chingy, supremacy.
Chingy out there minding his business. The tripped out part about it, you know, I be liking to get to the bottom of shit. You know what I'm saying? Where this shit come from? The tripped out part is the guy who actually made the meme, because it was like a Sesame Street book. And he changed the cover. My nigga Snuffy got the Rona, you know what I'm saying, at a Chingy concert. And so, I, you know, triangulating back through the Twitter, you know, you get to the dude who actually created the meme. And he was like, it wasn't even supposed to be a meme. It was like an inside joke. I don't even know how, you know what I'm saying, people got their hands on it like that. So, it's a black dude, too. A black dude made the meme. But it's different. It's different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's different when you create.
You can't pass along everything. Some of that shit just ain't for you. And he said, I didn't read it all the way through. First of all, it's a meme, bro.
Right.
It's not a book. It's very quick to the point. You should always proofread your memes, especially if it's outside your culture. You know what I mean? Before you put it in the world. And $10 million. Woo-wee. I saw Chingy do a little... Wow. Damn, I know he is sick. I know that nigga is sick. I saw Chingy do a little video about it. I didn't even, and then I had to kind of back, like, somewhat do the research. I didn't even do too much of the research. I never seen the actual meme. I heard the title. I saw, like, I looked in the comments. I saw what they were referring to. It was funny because Chingy was like, you know, they got my name buzzing and I ain't even doing nothing. I'm just sitting here with my daughter. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know how they always put them joints like, you know, somebody woke up minding their business and then see their name trending and shit.
Yeah.
Like Chingy out here minding his business. His name trending on some crazy shit.
Yeah, that's got to hurt. That has got to hurt. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well,
I know he embarrassed, sick.
Sick.
But you know he got a little, you know he got a nice little severance something. You know.
Yeah.
He ain't going home broke.
Yeah, he's gonna be all right. He's gonna be all right. But damn, I know that nigga can't stand Chingy. And Chingy ain't got nothing to do with it. He can't stand Chingy, Snuffleupagus, or coronavirus. That shit tore his life apart. Fucking with these memes. These memes are not for you. You know, not always. You need to know. You got to discern. Oh, well. Yeah, I'm trying to be empathetic or sympathetic, and I mean, sorry. Fucked up. Moving on. Nah. Your Black History Month was pretty good, though. It was pretty good, Black
What's
History
the
Month. I mean, Black History Year, actually. I don't want to, you know, short sell it. The highlight... That's interesting. I don't know if I had any, like, particular BHM highlights that I got. I'm about to talk out my ass. I really can't call it. It was all pretty good for the most part. Wasn't any any super tragedy. It was some, you know, not impersonal for me. I had a good time. You know, I made it through. I enjoyed the All-Star game. I don't know how obvious that sounds. This is a Black History Month highlight. The All-Star game was good. You know, I enjoyed myself. I mean, how about you? What about you and your highlight?
My highlights, we actually launched the RBN Studios officially.
The who?
Revolt Black News Studios.
Oh, RBN, Revolt Black News. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, we launched that in Black History Month about 4 or 5 days ago, like the 24th or 25th. It press release went out. And that's the studio where we shoot the weekly show, Revolt Black News, where I'm the newly commissioned executive producer, newly to the public, but I've been around for about 7 months now. But so we got the studio where we shoot Revolt Black News. We also going to be producing some talk shows out of there, documentaries and, you know, that type of deal. And it's a new newer division of Revolt. So you got Revolt TV, then you got Black News that's going to be doing like the news stuff and the documentary stuff and you know, alternative programming, as they would say. So that launched. That's exciting. That's exciting.
Yeah, that shit sounds good. Congratulations, Revolt Black News. That shit. Yeah. That sounds spirited. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that shit. That sound like something that's supposed to launch during Black History Month. Yeah, that shit sound like the truth with an F. That's the truth. I like that
that's
shit.
That's the truth.
You heard all that other shit. Now it's time for the truth. RBN. Yeah, I like that.
We need to put that in the open. You done heard all that other shit.
All that other shit. Yeah, whatever. Listen to that noise. Oh, man. Yeah. Congratulations,
so that's,
man.
So that was dope. You know what I'm saying? That was a great highlight to the Black History year. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that's that. So, you know,
yeah, that's a hell of a highlight. I guess it's up there with the All-Star game. I mean, you know, some could debate, but I think that's official. That's monumental. Yeah. This is the beginning of something.
It's official. You know what I'm saying? It puts a new media outlet in Black Hollywood, the center of Black culture in Atlanta. So, I think that'll be a good anchor. We're just now actually building it all the way out, but we have it built enough. We have the stage built. That was the first thing. So we launched the first show last Thursday. We got a new one coming out tomorrow, if you're listening.
Okay. So Wednesdays. Is it every
Thursdays? Thursday nights. Thursday nights.
Okay, I'm tripping. Okay, got you. Thursday night on Revolt. What time does it kick off?
It's 9 o'clock on Revolt, but you could always catch it on the app. Go download that Revolt app.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. So that's cool.
Yeah, man.
How's the gig? How's it feel?
Oh, man, it's real good, man. You know, it's actually a lot of the team that I worked on the other show on Central Ave. Shout out to Monique Chenault, who's president of Black News. And and you know, she trusted my vision to put me in position to you know, take on this role. And I appreciate that. And so we riding. All right.
That's what it is.
So it's good, man. It's different in the fact that, you know, I'm used to being an outside, you know what I'm saying, entrepreneur.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's different in that, you know, you're inside and you have, you know what I'm saying, a different scope of work than you do on the outside. When you're outside, you got the, you know, you have the latitude to be like, you know, I really don't want to do a bunch of meetings. You know what I'm saying? But inside, nigga, you're going to be doing some meetings. You know what I'm talking about?
right.
So So, you know what I'm saying? Getting in work form, you know what I'm saying? And not like when you entrepreneur form is different. And, you know, I'm going to still be that always. But, you know what I'm saying? Adapting to fit inside of the program and really working that spirit inside of the program, keeping the spirit of it and the ideas and the energy, but then working within it. You know what I'm saying? Being cognizant of, you know, you ain't just walking through that motherfucker barking out orders and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like when you outside, it's just like, you know, you hire people who in that mode. Like, hey, yo, 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 time to roll. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. The
outsiders.
You can't just be talking to everybody like that in the office.
Right.
So you gotta, you know what I'm saying? You gotta develop an inside voice.
Right. And I guess you gotta get your meeting stamina up. You know,
yeah.
It seems, you know, yeah. How do you do that? How do you avoid meeting fatigue? Any tips?
No, I don't have any tips.
Okay.
What helps me with meetings is doing this podcast, because, okay, you know, in a meeting, you know, just like on the pod, you crack the mic, you can't not have something to say. You know what I'm saying? You got to talk. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's people listening. You have to formulate some words that make some type of sense. And right, it's the same thing with meetings. And the more I've done the pod, if you exercise that voice and, you know, exercise the ability to just crack the mic. And so when you're on a Zoom, you never know when it's just going to be like, well, Ali, let them know about the, you'd be like, oh, shit, I ain't know we was talking about that. And then you got to, you know, the mic is cracked. So now you got to, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying, start talking your talk and making sure that you're on brand, on topic, and making sense and giving everybody some clarity on what it is that you need to. So it's like being a freestyle rapper. You know, stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. And, you know what I'm saying, be fluid enough to read the room at all times, no matter if it's impersonal or on the Zoom. Reading the room is the most important thing, and understanding where everybody's coming from and what's the temperature of what's going on in this meeting. So sometimes you're in a meeting where you got to fall all the way back because, you know what I'm saying, this ain't your stage, you know. It's higher, this might be above you, and it might be time for you to just, you know, make sure you paying attention. And if you got to say something, you got something to say. But sometimes it's okay just to shut the fuck up.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you say the wrong thing in the room, it's like, who that? And they start pulling your shit up. You know what I'm saying? Like, who is this new motherfucker twat? Huh?
Especially if it's a Zoom meeting, because then they could just Google in another tab.
Niggas on your whole, they pulling your whole dossier.
Mm-hmm. Look at this nigga.
You just know this nigga, he's an old podcast ass nigga.
You know, you said some good shit in the meeting when motherfuckers want to piggyback off of what you said. You know what I mean? That's when you know you're killing it. I just want to piggyback off of what Ali just said. I want to tap in. Yeah, man, that's always good.
Piggyback.
That is the funniest shit in the meeting. I'm gonna piggyback off of what was just said.
Right.
Speaking of freestyle battling. This weekend I stumbled across, I don't say stumbled across, yeah, I guess so. Kind of a stumble. I knew it was out there. Remy Ma, shout out to Remy Ma, mm-hmm, you know, Terror Squad, you know, First Lady Terror Squad, you know, she created a all women battle rap league, mm-hmm, right? It's called Chrome 23, right? Mm-hmm. And playing off the 23rd chromosome. I guess that's the chromosome that determines if you're going to be a woman or not. But it sounds like some gangster shit. Chrome 23 sounds like some Michael Jordan meets 45 type shit. But so they created this all-woman battle rap league, and it was an event this weekend you know, like a card, about four battles, and it's called Queens Get the Money. That was the title of the shit. And it was presented live on YouTube. That's how I stumbled on it, because I turned on my YouTube and I was like, oh shit, the joint is coming on, because I seen her do some interviews about it. I seen her do an interview on Hot 97 about it. And I turned on my YouTube, and the joint, you know, sometimes you'll see in your, you know, like your little menu page for YouTube, if something's live, you know what I mean? You click on it, it's going on right in that moment, you know. Shout out to Revolt. Oftentimes I turn on and, like, Drink Champs is live in that moment. So, you know, I'm not the biggest battle rap fan. I love a good battle, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember the Smack DVDs from back in the days. I didn't all the way get into, like, I wasn't a huge fan of, like, the URL battles. Nothing against them, but it just wasn't. It wasn't something that I flocked to. I think the acapella nature of it all, you know what I mean? Like, it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't one of the things that I got. And then what really killed me, even though Smack is acapella, but it was on a DVD, but it was just like, you know, there's no real judge. You know what I'm saying? It's just the people. You know what I mean? The people feel like this person won and whatever, whatever. So this is one of them situations. But it's all women, and then they got, like, the little, you know, like, the little face-to-face, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like, you know, just like every other kind of fight type of situation, the face-off, the weigh-in, you know, all that type of shit, where they talk their shit at the table, and the drama is all crazy. So I came in, it was a whole lot of drama, right? And what pulled me in, it was these two rappers. I think one was QB, and the other one was 40 Bars. Right, so long story short, we get into watch some of the battles, watching the battles on the shit, and what's funny to me about this this fucking the battle scene? It's like aggressive spoken word poetry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's like what I was about to say.
yeah, because that's what it is. No beats. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, like the what it'd be like. And fuck your dead brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then oftentimes, sometimes they got to set the lyric up again. You know what I mean? So they got to say this shit about four times because niggas was talking and they want to get this ball. So they got to reset with the same intensity. I said, fuck your dead brother. You know what I'm saying? So then here they go again with this shit. You know what I'm saying? Between every little couple lines, it's always like, yo, be quiet. Shut the fuck up. Y'all be quiet. Let them rap. Let them speak. You know what I'm saying? So it's a whole lot of this shit. But they black it on each other. Like, yo, right. I mean, it going in. Like, right. Real talk going in. Like, but what's her name? 40 Bars. She might have had the set of the night. Like, homegirl had some crazy little some crazy shit that she was saying, like super disrespectful shit, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, it's funny, it reminds me of, like, on a certain level of, like, stand-up comedy, like, you know, you kind of, you know, you want to have something that's topical or whatever. So there was some real topical lines, a couple lines that I thought were real funny. 40 Bars said shorty, she was like, tell her to hang it up like Professor Milgram. I thought that shit was funny. That was slick. That was a slick one. This was a raw one. It was slick. She said, something. That kitty had a leak. She was like Remy's prison visits. She had a pap every week. I said, oh God, this is it's like, all right. But I'm all in. I mean, they were going crazy. These two particular, I guess they was cool at one point, and then they got into a fight. Like, they wasn't fucking with each other, you know what I mean? They almost scheduled, like, a post-battle fight outside. Like, yo, we gotta shoot the fair one. I don't think that really happened, but, like, they had that type of energy. But I guess both of them had deaths in the family, so none of that shit's off limits, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, again, fuck your dead brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know. And then, like, shorty might turn her head, like, yeah, whatever, whatever. And then shorty got to, like, kind of fact check in a moment. Wait. Your brother dead, right? Right? Your brother dead, though, right? I'm not, no, right? Right? Is your brother dead?
Man.
Yo, her brother is dead, though. Okay, so fuck your dead brother. I'm like, oh, man. But anyway, long story short, no incident. Nobody swung on nobody, which is also part of the talent as well. To be poised and to take all of that in front of all of these people, you know what I mean? Like to take that assault and not snap and still come up off the top or whatever, dig into your lyrical bag. But overall, this shit was a cool event. I enjoyed it. I think it's still online. Y'all want to go check it out? Go check it out. It's on the Hot 97 YouTube. It's called Queens Get the Money, but. Yeah, they were. I didn't see all. I seen three of the four battles. There's one battle I ain't watched yet. But if you got the time, go to that 40 bar situation and go witness some of the disrespect, because the shit was top tier disrespect. Like it was crazy. It was crazy shit.
It's definitely chaotic vibe up in that joint. Very. Project Hallway League.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know.
Like, yeah, jail intake. You know what I'm saying? Very miscellaneous. Yeah.
Jam Pop Chow Hall League.
Exactly. But, you know, it was still a moment. Remy did a few outfit changes and shit. She was, you know, playing her role as the host, as the motherfucker bringing the shit as the commissioner of the whole shit. It was a cool event. It was good to see that expansion. You know what I mean? See somebody empower, you know what I mean? Other colleagues, you know what I'm saying? Other women of her ilk, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To kind of put them on a bit of a platform, leverage her own celebrity to kind of get some eyeballs on it. So overall, man, I thought that was pretty cool.
Only thing that I thought is like when is the show called Queens Get the Money?
I believe that event was called that for that event. You know what I'm saying? Event. I don't think it was.
So was it in Queens?
Nah, I think it was somewhere.
It was just Queens playing off the female rappers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Queens.
Because, you know, that's they trademark.
Queens get the borough.
Yeah, I know.
It was a little bit of
Queens
a
the Queens Get the Money is like, that's they, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's their shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's exactly. That's like if they had a all male joint called the Boogie Down Brothers. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Or whatever. it's a little bit of infringement.
Yeah, it's a little infringy. You know what I'm saying?
I want
to acknowledge that, you know what I'm saying?
The copyright of it all.
the copyright of it all. Because them niggas be dead serious about that shit. Queens get the money.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, shit, man. But, yeah, that shit was pretty interesting.
Right. That's what's up.
Yep.
Shit. I know we early in the game, but it's a lot of TV out here.
Ooh, yeah, it's a lot of TV, and it's just... It's a lot of TV, and a certain TV is going to have to become a bit of a hierarchy. Some shit might not always get watched.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, it's tight out here in these streets.
Yeah. I don't know if I got the bandwidth for all of this shit. I'm trying to. Yeah, nigga ain't got the time, and a nigga be falling asleep on some of these plot points. I'm going to be honest. But yeah. I mean, it's some TV shit talking. You want to talk about some TV? You got some TV you want to talk about?
I mean, if you got something else before that, because we could just run it from there. Once, you know what I mean?
All right. Well, this is one thing that I was paying attention to that, and it's not. It's just an observation. I think there needs to be some diversity in scammer representation, you know? You know what I mean? Like, because
this shit already, the setup is already some funny shit. What's happening?
So there's a lot of scamming shit going on. You know, obviously it's America, so a lot of people are trying to get it how they live. You know what I mean? People are trying to make a way out of no way. You know, so as of late, speaking of a lot of this material and things of that nature, so not sure if you heard of the Tinder swindler. Have you heard of this guy?
I mean, yeah, I've seen the talk, you know, I've seen the thing on the Netflix. I ain't watch it, but, you know, I know what it is. Okay. I know what it's about.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, and I didn't, after I seen what happened, I kind of checked out, because, it's one thing, I seen how these women got caught out there, you know what I'm saying? So homie was basically posing as somebody that was from a family of diamond mavens or whatever, like they, you know what I mean, like the diamond industry's family, like they ran the game or whatever. So he was, you know, he posed as a billionaire, and he was matching with women on Tinder, and then, you know, meeting up with them for like real, you know, elaborate dates, you know. Meet me at this 5-star hotel. We'll have some champagne and, you know, maybe some caviar or something on the first meet. Wait a minute, I'm getting a page. Oh shit, I gotta fly out of town to handle some business. I gotta jump on this private jet. I'm not sure if you're available. Would you like to come on this private jet? It leaves at 3 a.m. Yeah, of course. She ain't never been, you know what I mean? She took the train here. Yeah, let me go ahead and pack a bag. I'll be right back. So then we take the Teterboro or whatever, fly out on the private jet, you know, and some more, you know, high level accommodations to come, and the hustle and the bustle of, you know, diamond business, however vague that is. But, you know, it's just show these women so much of the life that they somehow believe that they got money too. That's where you go wrong. You always gotta remember where you came in at. You know what I mean? You gotta remember where you stand. You gotta remember sometimes this is a performance. This is true performance art. You know what I'm saying? A good scam is performance art, to be totally honest with you. So the Tinder swindler, he was basically, you know, showing these women these, like, elaborate, these, you know, lifestyles of the rich and famous type of, you know, peek into what he does. And all of a sudden, things get a little rough. You know, he's in the diamond business. It's dangerous. He sends a photo of his bodyguard looking a little bruised up. You know what I mean? A little blood or whatever. He's like, yo, they fucked my bodyguard up. You know what I mean? I happened to get out of there because they were coming for me. They tried to kill me. I'm going to have to go underground, but in order to go underground, I'm going to need funds, but I can't use my cars, because if I use my cars, then they're going to know where I'm at, you know what I mean, to track it and all of that shit, and I'm light on cash. So what I'm thinking is, could I use your card, maybe, you know what I mean, we could justify it by, I could put you on my payroll, I'll send you some paperwork to show that you working for me, so I could use your card at will, and, you know, so they's like, okay, it's no problem. You know, they thinking this guy got it. You know what I mean? Quinta Brunson, he got money. You know what I'm saying? So it's nothing here. Let's get an Amex open. He's maxing the Amex, hitting her. Yo, you gotta up the limit. You know, I'm a billionaire, babe. I don't have limits. You know what I'm saying? But I got you. Soon as we get out of this jam, I got you. You know what I'm saying? What they say make diamonds? Pressure. So, babe, we gonna have to do this. So they like, okay, listen, you know what? I'm gonna fly you in. What I need you to do is go get about $250,000 cash, because this credit card thing is slowing me down a little bit. I keep having to call you after they call me. And the thing, I'm moving too fast. Again, I'm a billionaire. My pace is lightning fast. I'm moving quicker than the internet here. So I'm going to send a flight for you. Bring $250 cash again. When this all settles, I got you. These women are so caught up in the momentum and frenzy of the what was so beautiful and so, you know, they like, all right, they taking out, they putting loans on shit, taking out credit lines. You know, leverage and shit that they don't have. They can't afford this. This is not their lifestyle.
Or his.
You know, they. Or his. But peep, this is the smooth part about the whole shit. He's using all of this money that they trafficking to him and shooting his way to scheme the next chick. You know what I'm saying? So then he's doing this, and this shit is just moving on and on and on, and it just, it flips and folds onto each other, and then he eventually kind of ghosts these women. You know what I'm saying? He just get missing. You know what I mean? Right. Like, and they, but the funny thing is, initially, they don't even realize they got. They more concerned. They're like, I hope everything's okay. I hope him and my 500,000 are all right. You know what I'm saying? And so they get, you know, they get got. And I don't want to say I'm unscammable, because you should never say that. I'm going to actually knock on wood, because you know, scam will catch you. Should have do you in like the COVID. But I got too many questions. I watch, you know what I'm saying? I'm very hesitant, especially when it comes to withdrawals and shit like that, when it comes to my money. So there's that. So the Tinder swindler, he's a white guy. He's a white woman, right? So then there's also the story of Anna Delvey. I don't know if you heard of Anna Delvey.
Yeah.
Anna Delvey, okay. So Anna Delvey is this woman that, you know, again, she's a scammer. She's kind of, you don't even know who she is really, but she's kind of presenting herself as to be someone of society. You know what I'm saying? Her pursuit to create a gallery, you know what I mean? Like, she wants to create a gallery, so she's meeting with all these people and all of this. And
she was supposed to be making like a Soho House workspace,
yes,
plus gallery and all that type of stuff for real rich people.
Right, creating a community for her peers, her peer set that she wasn't really down with. But you know, so it was all of that. And it's funny, I had happened to follow, I didn't know at the time, I follow this Instagram account, Film Colors, and the owner of that, this woman, Neff, she used to work at the Soho House. I think it's the Soho House, where Anna Delvey used to, you know, stay, and somehow would pay the bill, crazy bill, be like $30,000 a month, something crazy like that. So somehow they got cool. So I had heard about Anna Delvey. I believe I seen the New York Magazine thing, but then I would also see Neff post about it. Yo, they doing a thing. Shonda Rhimes doing a whole Netflix special about it. You know what I mean? They got me in it. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, whatever. So, like, all right, it's interesting. So, but you see this shit, and then, you know, it's another white woman beating the system. Then, you know, so I started watching a little bit of the Netflix special. I couldn't really get all the way through it because, like, what happens is it's like you'll see things like, the, you know, since it's a white woman, it's, first of all, it's white collar crime. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's always like, even though they committed the crime, they shouldn't be here. Like, when they wind up in Rikers Island, what's a woman like you doing here?
Right.
This is jail. You know what I'm saying? You commit crime. This is what happened. Well, that's the consequence of crime, typically, right? If it's done right, if justice is actual justice, then when you get caught slipping, you wind up detained in jail in a correctional facility. That's how it works. But what they said is, what's a young white woman like you doing amongst this riffraff, these people? You know what I mean? Like, so you kind of feel a certain type of way, but it also becomes a story because this is a white woman who's...
Who feel that way?
These people, these, like the media. Like when the story is told, when I'm watching the Netflix shit, the reporter that wants to do a story on her, she's like, it's crazy because she doesn't seem like the type to be in Rikers. And when they go meet her at Rikers, are you okay? You all right? How you doing in there? All of that other shit. You know, obviously there's jail concern, but it's just like, it's this thing of you're a little too precious to be amongst everyone. In the, you know what I mean?
Right.
So there's that. But at the same time, there's this celebration. So there's another woman, I think Danielle Miller.
Hold on. Before you move to the next scammer.
Let me just
speak on this shit right quick. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-oh, go ahead. First of all,
you know what I'm saying? The reason they're able to scam and get through these shits because, you know what I'm saying, they white, you know what I mean? Because some of the shit she was doing, going to the W, staying there for 30 days, ain't put down no card yet, you know what I'm saying? I can't even walk through the door for a motherfucker. Like, I need your credit card and your license, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just they have the benefit of the doubt sometimes. And, you know, she probably went in there, spent some money before. So they like, oh, yeah, yeah, she spent money. She cool. Until that shit went like 60 days and she ain't put down no card. They like, hey, you running up a tab. And she like, yeah, I get you when my wire come through. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So, you know, that same empathy that they have for her in jail, they have for her in the streets. And but they be doing them like, you know, it's a nigga that got his third strike and got life in jail off some petty theft. You know what I'm saying? And they be stealing millions and hundreds of thousands. You know what I mean? And it's just like, oh, they shouldn't be in there. It's just some
slap
money
on the wrist.
Right. Yeah. But you see cats trying to survive in Hurricane Katrina and they trying to throw the looter under the jail.
Yeah.
If you're protesting and you bust a window out, oh my God, and then you're violating the property. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
You see the double standard. Look at the Capitol insurrection. You see the double standard. I mean, it's the, you know, the complexion for the protection, as they say. But
What'd you just say?
That's an old timey situation. The complexion for the protection. That's some old timey shit. I like that. Yeah. There you go. But you know, look, that is understood. Unfortunately, we already know there's a super double standard. What our thing is, and then like, so I'm in the midst of reading this other New York Magazine thing about this woman. I think her name is Danielle Miller. Similar thing, kind of scam and wind up in Rikers. What are you doing here? You know, that type of thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. Might become another series or whatever. And, you know, look, I love a good heist. I love motherfuckers that get over. Scams are very entertaining. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, everybody want to beat the system. Everybody. Even the system want to beat the system. Look at Trump. You know what I'm saying? But I just feel like there should be just a little bit of diversity. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we going to have all these, there's black people out here beating the system. And unfortunately, I guess this shit don't really play out as exciting. It's not, you know, it becomes more of a cautionary tale. You know what I mean? They get mm-hmm. the book thrown at them. That shit don't really, you know, it's very, the justice, the due process is quite truncated. You know what I'm saying? It might not be no, you know what I'm saying? It might not be no expose in a magazine. Nah. You know what I'm saying? It might just be no
gracious visit from a reporter in Rikers.
Not at all. You might get a baller alert posted. That's about it. And they're killing you in the comments.
They're going to drag you in now.
Ain't that a bitch? But yeah, man. It was just, I just would like to see some of that shit. I know there was, I know Tessa Thompson was working on I think bought the life rights to this one woman who's still alive. This one, she's not a cat burglar, but this woman that is like a jewel thief in Atlanta.
Dorothy is something. She's from Cleveland.
Yeah.
She just retired to Atlanta. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. She retired to get it popping. Because I think she just got bagged maybe a year ago boosting out of Macy's or some shit. So she ain't stopping.
She from Cleveland.
Yeah, there was plans to have her life story going on the screen, and I would like to see that. Hopefully that could still happen, but you know, let's diversify, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know, shit, there's a lot of scammers of color, you know what I'm saying? Shit.
I mean, you know, con artists and scammers and thieves, and we run the gamut of shit now, but you know, it's just there. You know, when they put their story on it and they put their spin on it, first of all, you know, it seems very audacious to be able to get over at some of the levels that they able to get over. You know what I'm saying? Before the alarm was rang, you know, she's a nice European woman coming here and, you know, with all this paperwork and all these wire. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know where you get a wire fax these days, but she had wire faxes and shit like that. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. You know, back to the original scammer, the Tinder swindler.
Uh-huh.
He just sounded like a regular old nigga swindler at a higher budget. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Just
gotta, niggas be doing that every tax season.
Yeah.
Let me flip your tax. Let me flip your tax return. Right. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Let me add them kids to mine. You know what I mean? Then we gonna flip it, and you know. Mm-hmm.
Talking real fast and real impatient. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, no, I got you. Don't even worry about it. Don't ask me no questions. I got you. You want to get this money, right? Okay, right. Then. It's a whole lot of that.
So, I mean, you know, think about it. It, you know, a lot of people will look at the victims and be like, oh, how could you be so stupid? You know what I'm saying? Or he took advantage of these poor people. You know, but in order to get that shit off, you know what I'm saying? What they do is they draw you in with a little bit of your own greed. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of your own selfish desires. That's how you get caught up in the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you want to get on this jet. Yeah, I want to get on that jet. That shit feel, you know what I'm saying? Then you go out to Teterboro, jump on the jet. Y'all drinking the drink and all above the clouds. And you want, like, you in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A lot of people been trying to get on the other side of the hedges, you know what I'm saying, for a long time. It ain't no easy route. And now you're on the other side, and you see the mansions and the cars, and the leather is soft and buttery. You know what I'm saying? You like it over there. You like it. You're a part of this shit. You're a part of something. And so once you done latched on to being a part of it, now here comes the time where you got to pay. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the girl that was with Delvey. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In the end, she took all her girls who she had been splurging on all through New York on a trip to Morocco. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They get out there, she like, oh shit, I forgot my credit card. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever it was with a credit card. She was like, hey, can you put your card down on it? You know what I'm saying? I got you. You know what I'm saying? I'm just waiting on this wire to come through.
Don't even worry about it.
Don't worry about that. You know what I'm saying? You know I'm good for it. You know all them bottles we've been drinking. And then so you like, yeah, we have been drinking a lot of bottles. Yeah, she did take me to Chanel and bought me them bags. Yeah. This is good. Shit, we out here in Morocco. Let me go ahead and put mine down. Then she put hers down. And them people in Morocco ain't finna let that shit slide for 30 days like the W in New York. They like, hey, nah. Shit, where's that? We ain't talking about that paper. We want that damn that bank transaction information. And so, old girl got caught out there. You know what I'm saying? Only way they gonna get home is that credit card gonna get charged. Now you stuck with the $20,000 bill.
Yeah. Damn. You gotta see that's.
Cause you get
that's
yourself
the hard part. That's you gotta have your I gotta get home by myself money always earmarked, and that's why you kind of gotta be a little ruthless. I hate to say it, because to your point, you are complicit because they played off of your greed. You saw come up, and you came up first class, if not private, came all the way over here to Morocco, and now they calling your bluff. Because you want to play at the big table, and now you're at the big table, and it's time to put down, and now you got to make a decision. Right. And let's talk about this moment. Let's talk about this moment. Where you at when you had that situation? Because I think I'm going to have to leave. I think I'm saying, unfortunately.
I'm going to hit him with the, I ain't got it. I'm going to be like, nigga, I put my card down. We going to get kicked out this bitch. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. But see, the thing about it, they know who's susceptible to it and who got it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They not even finna try the motherfucker who they know that little card ain't finna hold shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This nigga on a debit, man. That ain't no American Express.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying?
Nah.
Old girl got the American Express. Her people got it. We finna ride on that. You know what I'm saying? But the thing, I've seen it happen before. Not in a scammer type of way, but I've seen it happen in another way. When you got all of the rich kids doing one thing, and then you got a couple of broke kids that hang with the rich kids, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying? The rich kids, they, you know what I'm saying? They ain't never a question of who paying or nothing. It's just always get paid, you know? And then the non-rich kid come up on a lick. And then they like, well, shit, you know what I'm saying? I've been riding off of this shit for months. Let me put down one time for the team, you know? Then they put down, and then, they, you know, the Richie's like, okay, shit, hell yeah, you know, it's going down. And then she waiting for them to kick back in, and they like, well, shit, you, if you still got it, keep it coming. And then her shit tapped out in a matter of days. And they looking like, well, okay, cool. Then everybody disappeared. Poof. Because they ain't finna tap back in because they know you ready for revenge.
Yeah. Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying?
You want reparations.
Want your reparations. Like, shit, I done been carrying y'all for 3 days. And they looking at you like, motherfucker, we been carrying you this whole time. And now you broke. They gone. You sad. You don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? And it's over. Because you wanted to play the game because the game was good to you when it was good to you, you know?
You thought you were in the game. You was
right,
just
you thought you was in the game.
Seats.
But you was really, you should have just played your part and been the broke one. You know what I'm saying? And got just, you know, get your crumbs and keep it moving. But nah, you wanted to show your value and your worth and prove that you belong. And now.
You know you ain't belong.
Now my man is flying off with your $500,000 on Ghost.
Spending it actually. Spending that shit with a whole nother woman. Yeah. A whole new mark.
It ain't even about the woman, it's about the investment in the next motherfucking lick.
Yeah. That's what you thought. You bought a share in Tindler Swindler LLC. Yeah. That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? It's a Ponzi scheme. That's what's my man name? Madoff. You know what I'm saying? Said it was investments, but shit, you use somebody else's investments to pay out the motherfuckers who you owe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I need y'all in on this. Okay, we in $15 million. All right, boom, go pay the motherfuckers who you owe. Keep it moving. So that's the art of the con. Like that shit is happening on every level. You know what I'm saying? That shit is happening on, you know, on the Bumbles and the Tinders, like, you know what I'm saying, on the all that. But everybody mostly pointed at the women who got, but niggas get got every day.
When the last time you got, you remember?
Got on what?
On like a con. You've been conned before?
Nah. I bet I done jumped in a little pyramid scheme, but you know what I'm saying?
Jumped,
I already
I
knew what that
say,
was. A little
got,
what they
got,
like
yeah.
What they used to call them,
I know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I had one in college.
Susus or whatever they call them shit.
Oh, the susu.
Susu. And you know, but you already know what that is. You ain't even expecting that shit to be no legit. You know, you hoping you get your hit for it crash.
Yeah, basically, you know what it is. You know what you're working with. I got caught in a pyramid scheme in college. That shit almost got physical. I got my money back, but it was a bad situation because I wasn't used to. I was the shit. They caught me slipping. They definitely got my greed, got my desperate brokenness. You know what I'm saying? They played off of that shit, and but they discounted that anger. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So fortunately, it wasn't a whole lot of money, but I got my paper back, and I was like, "Oh wow, that was the price of admission." Even though I got my refund, but it was still it stung enough to realize, "Oh yeah, be wary, because these motherfuckers is not playing out here." Nah. And sometimes you won't even see it coming. That's the worst, when you get scammed by somebody that you. Like, you almost dismiss, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you can, you never got anybody fully figured out, you know? That's just one thing you should always know, but sometimes you size people up and you kind of, you know, do a quick assessment and be like, nah, you delegate them to a certain side of it all, and then when you put that person in the wrong box, and then that box turns into a trap, and your ass is out some paper, you feel a certain type of way because now it's egg on your face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And some dollars light.
Right. But, and I can't say that I, you know what I'm saying? I can't pinpoint a place where I got scammed. I ain't never got scammed for nothing big, but I can't place, you know what I'm saying? But I know the feeling. So it must have, you know what I'm saying? I must have been in it because I know the feeling. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Motherfucker. Yeah. But never on nothing, you know what I'm saying, that was substantial enough for me to recall. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But. Go ahead.
I just always live by that. I just always live by the adage, you know, like, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Like, right. I seen the shit. I remember a friend of mine thought he was buying a laptop. And no, it was a brick in a box. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm walking down the block just the other day. I see this lady with a card table, which killed the whole situation. But, you know, right on Broadway, she had a card table with a bunch of boxes of AirPods on the card table, like what looked to be Apple AirPods. Whoever designed these boxes did a great job. I didn't do too much inspection, but I just knew. First of all, I'm never buying AirPods off a card table. That's just rule one. Because in the recap, that's where you lose all empathy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So wait, what you get? What Apple store did you go? Nah, I got them outside of BBQ's. It was a card table and it was $40. Yeah, nigga, you got God. You knew.
Yeah, you knew you was getting God. See, sometimes you just gotta know it. You know what I'm saying? If you're gonna fall into it, you got to already know that's the risk. But you might say, you know what? It's $50. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If it's good, it's good. If it's not,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, you know, if you agree to it, it ain't really getting got.
Basically, yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? So. Again, I can't recall no specific stories because I would tell it, but you know, I ain't really got one yet.
No, it's all right.
But you know what I'm saying, being broke, you know what I'm saying, probably protected me from, you know what I'm saying, said scams. Because you can't even entertain a fucking scam when you ain't got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, going on. You know what I'm saying? And the beautiful thing about me when I was broke was that I was never desperate. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I always believed in myself. I always believed in what I was doing. And you know what I'm saying? And, you know, sometimes you be like, you know, I can make that quick hint. But then you be like, nah, I ain't finna. Shit, I need this little shit right here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, if y'all win with it, then shit, all good. But I can't participate with y'all today. You know what I'm saying? That's how I missed out on early crypto. You know, which wasn't a scam, but nigga told me about crypto early in the game. And I you need to get in. I was broke, nigga. I'm like, shit, I ain't, man, please.
I hear that. I missed that. Happy for you, though.
But
I still ain't on the crypto game. Yeah. I might have to. I think I might. You know. Anyway, I might have to miss that whole boat. What was I gonna say, man? I think it's time for us to go ahead and start talking about some of this TV shit. Now, a disclaimer. Again, like I said, some of this shit is spotty for me. I ain't see a lot of this stuff. Again, some of this shit I had to tap out. Some of this shit I dozed off on. But we gonna do what we
y'all,
gonna
y'all,
do.
Y'all be the ones judging me when I don't watch shit. I ain't judging y'all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ain't no judgment here. I'm just saying
this for the
listeners.
Judging me.
Yeah.
Nigga, you ain't gonna watch that shit in 3 weeks.
Then there's things, I don't know if we, did you watch, okay, because I know we're going to get to, you know, the usual situations. Did you watch any of Euphoria? Did you see the Euphoria finale, any of that type of shit?
I did. You know what I'm saying? I cheated a little bit, you know what I'm saying, because I knew it was going to come up. So I watched spots here, spots there, and then I skipped to the finale.
Okay. All right.
But I got to, you know, I'm good.
Okay. Shit. Let's start there. Let's get into that. First off, that shit is the second most watched show in HBO history, right below Game of Thrones, which is crazy.
The writing is immaculate, man. They hitting that shit in the right way. Like, they not playing no games. That shit ain't no 90210. That shit got that shit is real. That shit got texture. That shit got humor. They know how to bounce between the two. Like, it's amazing what they were able to do with the topic, you know what I'm saying? With the age group that they're supposed to be portraying. You know, it gets raw, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you really can't even get away with half the shit they be doing. But somehow they are able to weave that shit in a way that makes sense to everybody.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely. Yeah, they killed it. They killed it. They got their own vibe. I was a little. It was entertaining in the moment, but as I take a couple beats after, I was a little disappointed in the finale.
Wow.
I thought they just left a few loose ends just loose, especially if they ain't coming back till 2024. You know what I'm saying? So, like, certain things that were stakes in the moment seem not to really matter in the end, right? Namely, the whole 10,000 with Laurie, the drug dealer.
Right.
Like, that's a hell of a plot line to open up and to introduce, you know what I'm saying, for it not to really have any true payoff. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, in 2024, I don't know how much of that I'm going to remember or be, like, connected to. So I felt like that could have sold it up a little bit. That was probably my biggest thing, to be totally honest with you. The Fez situation, Ashtray situation, that was nice. That was climactic. That was kind of ill. And, you know, that could kind of, we could see how that all simmers out after a while. Like, we could see where that picks up later. There was a bit of closure there, at least, or something happened that put a little, you know, exclamation on that thing. But that honestly, more so than anything, you know, and Rue's our main character, you know what I'm saying? Okay, she got clean, and that was dope, too. Like, to see that for as however long it lasts or whatever. But first of all, I liked Lori as a character because she was just so creepy chill. You knew she was dangerous. You seen the shit that she was down to do. You seen the designs she had on Rue with the plans that she had on Rue, how she was going to get her money. You know what I'm saying? But she was explicit up front, like, yo, if I don't get my paper, I'm going to have some wild, I'm going to sell you to some wild people, and they're going to do some weird shit to you. And it's just like, you know, that shit crazy. Yeah, she said it just as fucking deadpan as ever, but dead serious at the same time. And it just, that shit went nowhere. You know what I mean? Because that was the thing. Like, in that one Big Rue episode, I don't know if you said a Big Rue episode, where she's going all through the town, like, kind of Rue on the loose type of shit. That's when they flushed the whole suitcase that she got. You know, that was like, oh, shit. Like, that the stakes were there. You like, oh, shit. Okay, we already concerned with her sobriety and her, you know, her livelihood, you know, not her livelihood, but her existence and shit like that, and her health or whatever. But on top of that, the consequences that was coming was also like, yo, she better figure out how to get this paper. And
for you, we be just a sex slave.
Yeah, or worse. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, no, definitely. We're about to get you in the mix. You know what I'm saying? She's like, good thing you a woman, because women got something that they can make money off of. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, wow. That's
terrible.
And then, next thing you know, we don't hear nothing about it. That was my biggest, that was the biggest, like, kind of like, Everything else was cool, was fun, you know what I'm saying? Homie didn't really, I seen a lot of kids killing him. I wasn't as mad, but homie didn't need to go with that long-ass song, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right. You know what I mean? Like, we ain't need, this shit is ticking a lot of time off the clock, fam.
And I'm going to be honest with you, dog. I skipped through. I was like, this shit here is dragging. Fuck all this.
Yeah. You did the right thing.
Where Fez and them at?
You know what's so funny, though? I saw somebody say, it was like, because at the end of it all, it was like, first of all, this nigga sang like three verses and then had the nerve to be like, yo, I ain't finished yet. This nigga had the longest song that was still undone. Like, man, if you don't get out of here with this shit. That was kind of weak. But I think the best, you know, bookend, besides that Rue episode, But well, actually, there's a couple people that had great seasons. So if I had to nominate the great seasons, I would say, you know, Rue, you know, Rue's the forefront of the whole situation. So Rue brought us all the way through it, right? But I like the Cassie season. I thought Sydney Sweeney killed it throughout the whole shit. Like, her acting, she bodied it. But the bookends of the season was Fez and Ashtray. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? They kicked the door on that bitch mm-hmm. with Granny Fez, and then they ended that shit blowing the door off the hinges. Like, that shit came in with a bang and went out with a bang. Like, that mm-hmm. shit was wild. So yeah,
they dug into that origin story, and you know what I'm saying, and made it pay off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
They intentionally were going to make that pay off over the other yes. stories, because that's how they kicked that shit off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I thought
yeah.
that was pretty cool. That kid played a hell of a role, man. That Ashtray kid,
man.
You know what I'm saying?
He's a beast. Cause when you hear him speak regularly, it's like you forget he's a child. Like, he's a kid.
Right.
He was not coming across like that on the screen, bro. He was
like that ain't no kid. That's my partner. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. This kid is a menace.
That motherfucker's like, cool. That nigga ice cold, man. And he be knowing when it's time to get about it. He mm-hmm. niggas, you know what I'm saying? It was no words, you know what I'm saying? Nobody has mm-hmm. to say nothing to nobody. And he mm-hmm. was already on that bitch, like, okay. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. People. You know what I'm saying? Oh, this is what it is. And then mm-hmm. when Fez called him on, what do you call him? Big dog? Like, man, you gotta be all that big dog. That, then he was like, okay, this is over. This is fuck yeah. all that.
Yeah, yeah. We done took it to the next level. took it to the next level. And it's all that. Go. It ain't no hesitation. It's Ash, no, it's done. Don't even know it. It's done, Pop.
Nah, bro.
You know how I move.
We can't do this. But this was my question. Now I don't know if I missed it in the skipping of the singing. Now, how the police knew to come? What the police was coming for?
So, I don't know if you saw the episode prior to it.
Nah,
it was
didn't.
Set up in the episode.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah. So, homie was snitching. He was cooperating with the police.
I got that part when he was taping it on the phone.
Yeah. So, basically, that's how, I forget the girl's name that's living with them, the junkie. Was living with them.
Fat lips.
And, Yeah. She and him used to run together. You know what I'm saying? And then he kind of put her off on Fez and them. Like, Fez mm-hmm. took her in or whatever. And I don't know if he got in trouble with the law or whatever, but one day she went outside to go take the garbage out. And Ashtray be watching everything. He was in front of the monitors and all that, but this mm-hmm. was one of the rare moments when Ashtray stepped away from the monitor. Mm-hmm. Right? And she sees him outside, and he's like, yo, he's kind of lightweight talking around the fact that he's cooperating. She's like, wait, you're cooperating with the cops? You're cooperating? He's like, yeah, but look, I'm not going to put you in it. Don't worry about it, da-da-da-da-da, but this mm-hmm. is what's going to happen. They're going to raid the spot on this day. I'm going to come, you know what I mean? Like, just mm-hmm. so you know, and don't tell nobody, you know what I mean? So now she got to kind of hold that, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why the finale was a two-part situation anyway. So that was in the first part. So she kind of held it as long as she could, because mm-hmm. she fucked with Fez, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so, you know, that's when he came in there, he did the thing. And I think we even talked about this on the pod before, or maybe not. I didn't realize you could eavesdrop with them AirPods. You know what I'm saying? Like,
what
that's just the way that... You know, you could use them AirPods as a listening device. There's a way, if you sync your AirPods to your phone,
mm-hmm.
then you leave your phone in a room and you take your AirPods, you can listen to everything in the room. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, basically, I think he put one of the AirPods like in the little plants. And he had his phone. I guess maybe the cops had the other thing. But basically, he tapped the spot. Mm-hmm. And, Ashtray, you know, he watched monitors for a living and watched body language. So he started to feel something was off. He sees Shorty bugging out, you know what I mean? Like, just acting weird around this cat. And, like, why is he staying here so long? So let me go tuck this knife. And I'm gonna get in position, you know what I'm saying? Just in case some shit go down. And, you know, when homegirl dropped the glass, told him, yo, you know, be quiet. You know what I'm saying? You being taped. You know, obviously, Fez didn't catch that. Ashtray didn't catch that information. Fez played it cool, wasn't committing to anything, saying nothing. You know what I mean? Trying to get him up out of there. And, you know, there's no off switch for Ashtray. You know, as we seen, not at all. Like, once that shit click on, he on. And he not taking no shorts. He not letting you take the fall for him. He going out. So once that shit happened, once he struck blood, he was like, well, we got to keep going. Let me go get this artillery. This
motherfucker went and got the sticks.
Yeah, it worked. I said, yo, what is he doing? This man was doing that shit like it was a drill. Like, he had been practicing. You know?
Fuck all that. He was saying, he's talking about go wash your hands. My man went and got his whole motherfucking arsenal.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm taking this all the way.
Yeah, yeah. That shit was crazy.
Young boys in a life of crime. And it's funny because, you know, we watch it, it's entertainment and shit. Right. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they tap into some serious issues, you know what I'm saying? With what goes on. And you know, he's a character on TV and he's lovable to us. But it's motherfuckers that live under these kind of conditions, you know what I'm saying? It's already ready, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we'll look at it and be like, oh, that's ridiculous. How does that happen? These kids running around with choppers. These kids living under a different lifestyle than you know what I'm saying? Than we did, and you know.
And they accept it. They accept it. That's what, you know, it is what
it is.
You
can't do nothing but accept it when that's your life. And that's your grandma, nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's your role model.
Like,
yeah,
that's all you got.
Yeah.
This is the life, man. This is it.
And it was explicitly taught to you. It wasn't even like you just saw it from the peripheral. No, these were all teachable moments. Watch what I do. This is why I did what I did. This is how you handle this. There ain't no other way. You know what I'm saying? Like, these is the shit. These is grandma's hands. Right. You know what I'm saying? And shit, there you go. Oh, man. Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, right.
Grandma's hands.
Man. Oh, shit, dog. Yeah, so that shit was good. What else did you fuck with?
I fucked with the Snowfall, man. We got to talk about the Snowfall, man. That was the top recruit of the weekend for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's my favorite. Yeah. Come back, you know what I'm saying? Leon, Franklin, Uncle Jerome, you know what I mean? This was it. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. I can't think of my homegirl's name. Jerome's wife. Jerome's wife.
Nah, now you said I can't even think of her.
Yeah, always
shit,
stay
man.
Fresh.
She do her thing. No. She's the real one.
Absolutely. And I hate that we can't. We're going, you know, we'll find it. We'll find it in a second.
That's fucked up. They got a brain
fart. Nah. Yeah. Nah, it's going to get settled. But keep going. We'll keep going. I'll find it. Keep going.
So I was waiting for the snowfalls, you know what I'm saying? Was excited for the comeback. You know, February, Black History Year is dropping.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Louis.
Sorely disappointed.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that's her name, Louis.
Definitely Louis. Thank you very much.
Shout out to Louis.
Shout out to Louis, who's really the real motherfucker in there.
Absolutely. But go ahead. Yeah.
But yeah, man. Cats. So I don't know what the fuck they thinking. You know what I'm talking about? We've been waiting all these years. Well, all this time, it wasn't even all that. But, you know, these months.
Right.
They going to come back. And Louis and Jerome got like one line, a half a scene on some horses, on some shit we don't even know about. Like, what's going on? Like, I bought you this horse, baby. Ha, ha, ha. And that's they scene. But meanwhile, Rob and all these other side motherfuckers got all these scenes and all these lines and all this screen time. I don't care about that shit. You know what I'm saying? I know they probably setting some shit up, but they done wasted two episodes on some bullshit that we don't care about. You know what I'm saying? All Leon did was beat a nigga feet by some Jordans. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Right.
Then, you know, talk to Franklin about, you know, he good with his life. I don't know where Scully at. I don't know the state of the business. I don't know what's going on with Louie and Jerome in Arkansas, Little Rock, you know?
Right, right.
I don't know what's happening in the gang. The whole last season was about the gangs in the neighborhood wars. Like, where the gangs at? I don't care about these. You know what I'm saying? Only thing I care about Rob was slap your goddamn daddy. You know? slap your goddamn daddy. This new plug. Yeah. We don't even know this motherfucker, man. Like,
got a new baby mother. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm talking about? Who is this? First of all.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Franklin, last season, he just got out of a goddamn scammy relationship that almost got him killed.
He needs some time to heal. Yeah.
Then, you know what I'm saying? He ended the season by going to see his crackheaded, you know what I'm saying, lover next door.
Uh-huh.
Walk off into the sunset because she tried to case him, and he beat that. Mm-hmm. And then we wake up, and he in love, and with what the fuck is going on? Who is this person? Where'd she come from? How did he transition from the hurt of Mel, from the hurt of the girl who was setting him up with Man Boy?
Or something like that. I forget her name. Yeah, something like that.
Like, how did he heal from that to just wake up? We gonna build this empire together. I saw this plot of land on the Pacific Palisades. You know what I mean? Go get it for me, baby. Man. They skipped a whole bunch of shit. So I guess they're going to try to do the rewind the tape 11 months ago like they did with Reed. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck what Reed was doing 11 months ago. I don't care about Reed and his him trying to save his career. No, I don't care about that. I don't care about none of that. You know what I'm saying? We was done with Reed. Reed was, went to, you know what I'm saying? He was outed. He needed to be out. So I don't understand why they getting all this screen time and the main players we care about, we two episodes in, and we ain't won't know nothing what's going on with none of the main players that we came here to see.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I say this, full disclosure. And I had so much adrenaline. Not only adrenaline, I was very excited to see with Snowfall coming back. I didn't know it was going to be a double feature. So I didn't make it through the second one. I fell asleep. And I've been meaning to get back to the second episode. But like, I was like, oh, shit, there's another episode? And I was excited. But I guess it was a long day. I fell asleep on that shit. So I got to get back to the second one. But I will say, from the first episode, a couple of my observations just off top. I guess we've advanced the story a little further, so now we're going to play catch up this season. I hope it pays off. You know, we had to talk a couple weeks ago about what if Snowfall turns out and fucking jumps the shark and comes through with a whack season. How hard do we hold it against them? It's, you know, they in the books as a great show. You know, you want to stick the landing. It's just hard when it's a when the season ain't good to be in the middle of the season. You know what I'm saying? It's like your team not going good. Mm-hmm. But, all right, I still got faith. Now, couple things. I guess we're going to find out what Reed did to Pops. I guess he killed him or whatever, but they definitely put that out there. He said what you did to his father. I saw that. This is just how ruthless Franklin is and how much it is established in the way that I don't think that baby's coming to term. I hate to say it like that, and I feel bad, but I don't. I just something about this whole woman about to be the mother, the son. Maybe Franklin could have an heir or whatever, or mother. Maybe he could have an heir, but I just this shit feels so slapped together. You know what I'm saying? Again, maybe they're going to run it back. But right now, how they introduced us, it feels so slapped together that that shit don't even feel like it's real. And to the points that you made, it almost, I guess it might even be a rebound situation. But
rebound from what? Being scammed and being turned on?
Being scammed and being your lady turned into a crackhead, all of that shit. Maybe he's just trying to, you know.
He trying to replace his mama in the real estate business. Like,
who knows? He do. That's the one thing she has going for him. Franklin do like to conspire with somebody, and she seemed like she got a lot of vision. That's like the thing that kind of, that's the saving grace. Because it's a whole lot of, yo, who is shorty? But then you hear, you're like, all right, okay. She got a plan. It's like the motherfucker that come to a meeting that wasn't introduced, but they got a lot of big ideas at the table. You're like, all right, okay, we still got to figure out who y'all. But, okay, I'm listening. So she got that. Speculation report seems to have Peaches either snorting or maybe a early, early case of HIV.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
another thing, man. It's no payoff for the real people who've been following this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you don't get your characters, then Peaches got a situation. You know what I'm saying? We don't know it is some strange, mysterious summer cold.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, so the problem I got with it, man, again, you got all these new characters getting all this story time and all these lines, and they don't deserve them. And that's why I'm at with it. And
I can dig it. Well,
they got to pull it together, man. Because I don't know if John Singleton would approve this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, damn.
This goddamn shit. This goddamn all this pop ass music. I don't know what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What is it? Wasn't the texture of the show.
Yeah, it's stared off a little bit. We hoping that it's gonna find its way back again. I'm keeping faith. I'm gonna give it about four, five because it's the fifth season. Give 5 episodes to hold me down. You know what I mean? To come around. You know what I mean? But like, I'm gonna say this. One thing is, the one guy that was getting a whole lot. Well, two of the guys that was getting a whole lot of screen time are dead now. Only thing is, if we doing a catch up, that don't really mean that they dead. That means that they ended up dead, and if we going backwards, then they might still be in the thing. So I was about to say, good thing they might not get any screen time, but if we got to justify how it all got there, then they might be included. We also ain't talk about, Two-Faced or whatever, the black guy, the black cop that they got in pocket, or maybe not. It came through the bar and trying to extort them a little bit. You know what I mean? Hopefully they get him up out of there because I don't really got a lot of. You like I said, I hear you. I'm not really. We're not invested in these people. Yeah, we don't got to put a whole bunch of new players on the table unless these storylines pay off. Because I remember at one point. You know, there was the time when, what's my man's name? Sandy? Is it Sandy? Crazy? Who was my man's name? Crazy Man's. What's my man's name? Wild Sherm. My man on the Sherm. Mm-hmm. When he was introduced, you know, it kind of went from 0 to 60. But when he was introduced, he was a little unfamiliar. But then he proved to be one of them motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? So who knows what they got in store. Again, I'm holding out hope. It was crazy not to see much Louis and Jerome. That was a little weird.
That was weird.
Yeah, that's probably the most weird part of the whole shit. Because those, you know, I guess, I don't know where Mom's is at. Maybe she's still in Cuba. Pops is assumedly dead.
She over but there like with a bad connection.
Yeah. The people, you know what I mean? We want to see the people. We want to see the Leons. I mean, we see Wanda working at a sex line. I think the Wanda storyline is kind of dwindling. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like,
I don't know,
why we got all that Wanda and no Uncle Jerome and Louie?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
What I'm saying? They play too much.
What y'all think? Let us know in the comments. How y'all feeling about it? Are y'all just as disappointed in it as Muhammad is? Because he's disappointed. He feels a way about this shit. I'm disappointed too, but I'm trying to keep the faith. I told you, I got faith for five. So we'll see what's what. I believe in the franchise. I believe in it.
I mean, I ain't tripping off of the franchise or nothing like that. It's just now they got Franklin isolated. He ain't got none of his people around him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's just the stoic gangster character that most times when you get these stories written by white people, the gangster character has no peers and no friends. Everybody's beneath him. He ain't got nobody he go to for counsel. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's his nemesis, who is usually the white police that's chasing him. Which, come on, man. You built this empire, but now you've built a relationship with the beat cop that's chasing you down. You got nobody in your circle that can match wits with you. You know what I'm saying? And that's where Franklin is now. He ain't got no Leon. Nobody can match wits with him no more. He just up there, sup his lady, who we don't even know. She got a bad wig on. You know what I'm talking about? So it's like, I mean, we don't know what the fuck going on. Now you the largest distributor of crack cocaine in the United States. Your old lady got a bad wig. This ain't adding up. Who in the writer's room?
I mean, I know I see Walter Mosley's name over there, so hopefully Walter's still in the fold.
Yeah, he's his name in there, but it's a lot more executive producers on there than it was last season.
Yeah. It might be more too many chefs in the kitchen, hopefully.
Yeah, we got to diversify. Yeah. You know, what about Betty in Idaho? We can take this show to the next level if we expand our audience and let Middle America be able to relate.
Yeah, I hope they ain't do that. I hope they ain't do that. From what I understand at FX, they pretty they fall back a little bit. I'm trying to keep the faith. Again, like, we two episodes in, one of them I didn't see, so I ain't got a whole lot to really draw from. Next week I'll be three in, and that's gonna be, you know, that's gonna tip the scale towards five, and you know, we'll know. We'll know by episode 3, 4, 5 is where it's going to get dangerous if shit get nasty. But again, fingers crossed, a lot of faith till 5. The franchise is strong. I don't want to, you know what I mean? I don't want to really, I don't want to give up hope. But I will say this, speaking of giving up hope, and I'm pretty much there. I did not watch this last episode of White Power. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there, but I'ma try to pull through and get into it. If y'all are still fucking with Tommy and Force, let us know in the comments if it's worth recapping or if y'all stepped off. You know what I mean? And
Even Avi got fucking lines in this fucking shit.
I like Avi though. I'm not mad. I ain't saying that I'm mad at Avi,
but how Avi get lines and Jerome don't get no lines.
Yeah.
You know I'm open. Everybody white got lines.
Well, there we go. Well, you know, it's March.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we entering all this other shit before we even checked in on hood politics in Los Angeles.
Right. I get
we
it.
We all in
I
a whole it. A whole another zone. I'm done.
I hear you. I'm done too. Okay. You know what? We both done. Let us know what you think. But until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Conversation.